And today, let's turn to the Old Testament, Psalm 119. And Psalm 119, if you don't know, it is the longest book, the longest chapter, actually, I should say, longest chapter in the whole Bible. But we're only looking at the first 8 verses. And later, after the Lord's Supper, we'll also be singing, as God's family, Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. And I want us to look at the song, because this is a very special song. All the songs in the hymnal, they're special too, but this is especially important. And I say that because God wrote the song. This is a song that God wrote about His Word. This is a song about the Bible, the Word of God. You see, behind the human author in Psalm 119, there is God, the divine author. And in this song, He's telling us just how perfect, beautiful, wise, and just how trustworthy the Word of God is. What a treasure it is. And it's my hope and it's my prayer that through this song that you too will greatly treasure and rejoice in God's Word as we look at this song together. So please give your full attention to the reading of God's living Word. 119, verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in His ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. This is the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this beautiful song. Your word is perfect. Your word is infallible. Your word never fails us. And Father, we want this song to shape the way we sing and the way we pray to you. Father, we confess that because of our sins, which still reside deep within, that we don't always sing, that we never sing and we never pray the way we ought to. They're flawed and imperfect. But we thank you for your grace, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because through these precious gifts, you shape us into the image of Christ. We worship you more and more in spirit and truth by the grace of God. And that is what we desire. We desire that more than anything else. Because to worship you, to be in your presence, in your courts, is better than 1,000 days anywhere else. We would rather be doorkeepers in the house of our God. Lord, we already have tasted this joy, but we want to know this joy more and more. We want this joy to be all-consuming, the greatest joy in our hearts, because we desire to worship the true and living God and not fall before any idols that are man-made. Father, we desire to know you. We desire to know how much we are loved in Christ, and we desire to love you more and more. So bless us, we pray. Minister unto us through your word, through your living word, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I can't believe it. It's already the last week. It's already the last week of January. And maybe right now is a good time to ask, or maybe it's not a good time to ask. But how are you guys doing with your New Year's resolutions? Every year, many people, many adults, maybe you too, young children, maybe you make resolutions, New Year resolutions, like, I'm going to be healthy this year, or I'm going to read the whole Bible this year, or as I depend on God's grace, I'm going to try to obey my parents more this year. But we all know that making New Year's resolutions, that's so much easier than actually keeping them. Isn't that so true? To actually follow through, that is so difficult. But won't you notice how today's song ends? Won't you look at the conclusion of today's song? Because it is so inspiring. How does it end? It ends with this unshakable resolution. It ends with an unwavering, I will keep your statutes. And isn't that so inspiring? The psalmist, the singer, is declaring at the end of the song, at the end of this portion, God, I'm going to make your word my life goal. I'm going to make your word the center of my life. I want to make three simple points. I want to make three main points in today's sermon. 3 points, only 3 points. And the first point is this. What about God's word? What about God's word makes it so worthy to commit to wholeheartedly, single-mindedly, and unwaveringly? What about God's word makes the psalmist cry out in verse 5, oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Like, what about God's word? Why is it so special? Let's think about that first. And David Pallison, one of my professors at Westminster Seminary, he points out something very crucial. He points out something very important about Psalm 119. And he asks, what are the words that get repeated the most often in the song? What words do you hear more often than any other words? Now, if you're pretty familiar with the Bible, if you know the scriptures pretty well, I think most of you and most other Christians, they'll say something like this. Well, that's a pretty easy question. Psalm 119, that's all about the Bible. So all those words, all those synonyms for God's word, all those words that mean the same thing as the word Bible, words like God's precepts, statutes, commandments, testimonies, the law of the Lord. You know, that is actually a pretty good guess, but you may be surprised to find out that that is not the correct answer. It's a pretty close answer, but by far, the correct answer is first and second person singular pronouns. And what in the world does that mean? The words that you hear again and again in this song are words like I, you, your, my, me. Again and again, we hear those words, first and second person singular pronouns. You see, this song about the Bible is also an intensely relational song. I and thou, or I and you, again and again and again. What you have to realize is that this song about the Word of God is also about your relationship with your God. And you have to know that. The essence of this song is fellowship with your God. The essence of this song is joyfully spending time with your God and knowing the delight of hearing His voice. That's what Psalm 119, this long psalm, is all about. I and you, again and again. You see, what I'm getting at is this. By God's design, the way God intended, these two things, they always go together, hand in hand. By God's design, two things always interlock. And what are those two things? The word of the Lord and your fellowship with God, or your relationship with God. And look at verse 2. You see those two things interlocking and coming together in verse 2. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, the psalmist says. Blessed are those who keep His word because they're seeking Him with their whole heart. So going back to the earlier question, what about God's word? What about God's word makes it so worth committing to unwaveringly? And the answer is the promise of the Lord in Jeremiah. The Lord has promised to you, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And the singer is declaring to us, blessed are those who keep His testimonies because they're seeking Him with their whole heart. And those who seek the Lord with their whole heart by means of the Word of God, they will find the Lord. They will find fellowship with Him. That's what makes the Word of God so special. That's what makes it the greatest treasure, our communion with God. Spending time with God in His presence, tasting His goodness, His holiness, His strength, His mercy, His power. And did you know, if you can find the triune God, or I should say, if you have found the triune God in your life, If you can call the God of the Bible your God, my God, did you know, kids, that you are the richest person in this world? Did you know that? If you can call God my God, you are truly an enviable person. Do you realize that? That there's nothing in the world that you could really ask for? And the reason why I say that is because Scripture declares to us that God is the pearl of great price. And you're supposed to sell everything that you have in order to obtain Him. Do you realize that God is the reason why the psalmist, that his heart is aching in the song, "Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes"? This man was aching for God. He was wanting more and more of his God. Listen to the last thing that he says in this song. He says, "I will keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly." And what is he saying there? One commentator puts it like this: "I will keep your statutes. I will keep your word. Do not leave me at all, God. Abide with me. Be near, O God." So blessed are those who keep God's testimonies. Blessed are those who keep His word. Because they're not seeking God aimlessly, hopelessly, in all the wrong places, but God is telling us they're seeking God wisely. They're seeking Him in all the right places. They're seeking Him the way God commanded them and instructed them to seek Him. Alec Moyer says it like this in his commentary: "They are frequenting, they are visiting where God is known to be found. And in the Word of God, the Lord will be found." That is the promise that He gives to His people. So may I exhort our church, won't you commit more to God's Word this year? When you show up on Sundays, won't you come prepared and ready to sit under the preaching of God's Word? And that is so important if you're striving to grow in your knowledge and understanding and love for Scripture. Westminster Confession points out that God blesses the public proclamation, the public preaching of God's Word, especially in the context of corporate worship. God blesses that even more than your private times of reading Scripture, although that too is crucial. I'm not saying that that is unimportant. That is very important as well. But God especially blesses the preaching of God's Word. So what you have to do is, all the children, all the mothers, fathers, single people, everyone here, you have to show up prepared and ready to sit under the preaching of God's Word. If you go away, if you go on vacation, you have to make it a priority to sit under the preaching of God's Word. Maybe not the Word that goes forth from this pulpit in East Brunswick, but you need to make that a priority for you and your family. Won't you also allow God's Word to dwell in your families very richly this year? Have a plan. Have a plan to go through the entire Bible in 1 year. Or if your family's younger, go through it in 2 years. It's possible. It's manageable if we're consistent. And won't you also make time to talk about God's Word together as a family? Won't you do that around the dinner table, perhaps during dessert time? And if you don't have a family right now, or if you don't have children, won't you also make it a priority to allow God's Word to dwell in you richly during private times of worship in your life? The Bible is teaching us God's Word is worth committing to, because God is worth committing to. Fellowship with Him is worth committing to. That's the first main point. That brings us to the second main point. And the second main point is this: how should we commit to God's Word? The second main point is, in what manner should we commit to God's Word? Adults, I'm looking for an adverb here. How should you fill in the blank? Commit to God's Word, blank. What adverb should fill in that blank? Something that you notice in this song, if you look at the original language, is that there's a very meaningful and purposeful repetition here. You hear the Hebrew word shamar repeated again and again, 4 times total. You notice that in the original language, or I should say 4 times, you hear variations of the root word shamar in verses 1 through 8. And that word, I know it sounds strange, but that word is a word that means guarding. protecting, keeping. Look at verse 2. Blessed are those who guard, keep his testimonies. Verse 5. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in guarding, keeping your statutes. Verse 8. Your statutes I will guard, keep. Do not leave me at all. So this repetition is very important. God is telling us that you need to shamar, you need to guard, keep the word of God. You need to guard it, you need to keep it, like a running pack running into the end zone for the championship win. God's word is telling us that you need to shamar, you need to guard and keep the word of God as if the championship is on the line. Why? Because God is the greatest God is the greatest prize on earth, isn't he? More than any sporting event or any sporting trophy. He is the greatest prize, and we must guard it. He has entrusted his word to us, and we can't drop it. We can't fumble it. But we need to commit to it. And we need to commit to it like a running back on a championship team. Are we doing that in our lives? Verse 4 instructs us, you have commanded your precepts to be kept, and it says, diligently. Right? That's the adverb, diligently. And of course, diligence that requires commitment, it requires concentration, it requires vigilance. Commit to God's word diligently. That's how God wants us to commit. Before we move on to the last main point, there's one more adverb here, and this is a shorter point. And the other adverb is this: commit to God's word diligently, and commit to God's word completely. That's what God wants you to do. God doesn't want you to pick and choose, but he wants you to commit to it in all its parts, completely. And we see that in the second half of verse 6. Notice what it says. Having my eyes fixed, not on some, not on many or most of your commandments, but it says, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. And church, that is so important. We know that little children, many of them, they're so picky about food, aren't they, sometimes? And we agonize about it. Some of them, they don't like eating meat. Some of them, they don't like eating vegetables, cheese, eggs. Some of them don't like milk, on and on. But the thing is, God's children can also struggle with this. God's children can also become choosy and picky about the food that God gives us. There's a tendency to gravitate to certain passages that we like, or certain passages that we think are important. But God is challenging us this morning. No, don't be picky and choosy when it comes to God's food, but you have to be a humble child. When your father gives you something to eat, he's giving it to you because you need a balanced, nutritious diet. And if you only gravitate to those passages that you desire, you are truly depriving yourself. So commit to God's word diligently, and commit to God's word completely. Accept it, embrace it, commit to it in all its parts. And the final point this morning, and the final point is this: God wants you to commit to the word diligently and completely. God wants you to commit to him completely and diligently. And God wants you to do that as you think about how much favor you have in your life. Don't forget the favor that God has shown you. Don't forget the favor that God has poured out on you. And may that motivate you in your pursuit and commitment. So as I wrap up today's sermon, I want us to think about our favor in Jesus Christ. In this song, the psalmist, the singer, he once rejoiced about the favor that he had. Right? Many years ago, he sang about the favor that God has shown him. He says in the song, blessed, happy are those who walk in the law of the Lord. And what is he saying there? He knew that he was someone who was in fellowship with God. He knew that he was in fellowship. Of course, he was yearning to have a deeper relationship with his God. But the fact was, God had given him the law of the Lord. God had already reached out to him. God had spoken to him. And that's how he got to walk in the law of the Lord. He was already in fellowship. You know, church, God has also given you His Word. Do you realize that God has also brought you into fellowship already? It's not that you have to climb up to God somehow and find Him somehow. That's not what God is saying. But God has spoken to you first. And Peter says it like this in his letter. You have been born again through the living and abiding Word of God. And what is Peter saying there? He spoke to you His living and abiding Word, and He brought you to life. And He brought you to life for fellowship. You are in fellowship with your God. But the thing is, I have to point this out. There's a difference between your fellowship and the fellowship that the psalmist had. And what is that difference? And this is really mind-boggling to think about. But when we look at the New Testament, we learn God has given you more of His Word. Do you realize that? God has given more of Himself to you. The author of Hebrews says it like this. Long ago, in many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Church, do you realize just how blessed and favored we are in Jesus Christ? Do you realize that not accidentally, but in God's providence, you get to live after the time of Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension? And not by some accident, but in God's providence, you get to live after the completion of the New Testament? Do you realize He has given you more? He has given you more of Himself. And so what Jesus says in Matthew 13 also applies to you. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and they did not hear it. People of God, we have God's favor. We have so much favor. We have been so blessed. It's really an embarrassment of riches, embarrassment of wealth. And of course we know that to whom much has been given, to whom much favor has been shown, much is required. So I want to encourage our church this morning. Won't you press on to know your God? Won't you commit to His Word completely and diligently? And won't you commit to your God completely and diligently? Let's go to our God in prayer. Let's ask God to seal this message, seal this Word in our hearts. Father, we thank You for this new year. You have given us another year to enjoy You and to glorify You. And we pray that You would always open our eyes to the privilege that we have in Jesus Christ. May we never forget how much favor has been poured out on us through our Savior Jesus. Father, we want to press on to know You. We don't want to be indifferent or complacent when it comes to having fellowship with You. But Father, we desire to have this holy ambition, this holy passion and zeal in our hearts. We want to know You, and we want to make You known to our children, to our friends, to our non-Christian relatives. We need to know You, Lord God, and we pray that You would bless us in our efforts this year. That if there are those who are discouraged, that You would give us encouragement. If there are those who are feeling complacent, that You would replace that complacency with a gospel-centered motivation. And we also pray for the young children in this church, that they may grow up and they may grow up to press on to know You, that they would be people who love You with all of their hearts, souls, minds, and strength. With all their might, may they devote themselves to the Word of God and desire to learn, understand, and delight in it. Father, we pray for the Lord's Supper this morning. Thank You for the gift of Your Word that comes to us visually through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We pray that we would approach the table with faith, with our eyes firmly fixed on our Savior, and as we partake in the bread and wine, we know that there's also your invisible grace attached to these visible signs for those who believe in Jesus Christ. And we pray for your blessings, abundant blessings, on every person who approaches your table this morning. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Thank you for ministering unto us. Embed your word deep within. And we pray that you would continue to sanctify us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.